رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله نويت سنة الاعتكاف اور beloved نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم has said that a person who sends 1,000 times daily durood or salutations or salawat upon me, he will not die till he sees his place in Jannah. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم صلاة وسلاما عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. Dearest Islamic brothers, inshallah azza wa jal, in today's pre-khutbah talk I will discuss the fadilat, the virtue of ilm-e-deen and ulama and learning ilm-e-deen. Hazrat Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu reports that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, the one who walked on the path of knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make him walk on the path of Jannah. And undoubtedly, for an alim-e-deen, all the creations in the earth and in the heavens, even the fish in the ocean, they make dua of maghfirat. And undoubtedly, ulama are the heirs of prophets alayhim as-salam. In this hadith mubarakah, we learn something very important, that all creations in the earth and in the heavens, including fish in the water, they make dua for an alim-e-deen. Question arises, why the animals or the birds or the fish must make dua for an alim-e-deen? What benefit do they get? I mean, human beings who are believers, they come and sit in the company of ulama, they learn something from them, they listen to their lectures, they read their books or articles, or they get answers for their questions. So it is understandable if they make dua for ulama. But that fish that's in the water, what benefit that fish is getting from an alim-e-deen? Why must that fish make dua? So ulama-i-kiram have explained that the reason is that the whole creation of Allah, they know that the deen is existing because of ulama, and the dunya is existing because of deen. The day there will be no ulama, there will be no deen. And the day there will be no deen, there will be no dunya. So that means this dunya will come to an end. So the animals, they know and realize that we are existing and we are getting our sustenance and we are getting our rozi and we are living because ulama are living. So that is the reason that they make dua for the wujud or for the existence of ulama ikram. Hazrat Ali karamallahu ta'ala wajhahul kareem reports that our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, I asked Jibreel Amin alayhi salam about the people of knowledge. He replied that they are the lamps of ummat in the dunya and in the akhirat. And the good news is for that person who recognizes them and respects them. And the one who insults them or he makes them angry, for him is destruction. From this hadith mubarakah we learn that those who seek ilm-e-deen from ulama, those who appreciate the existence of ulama, for them there is a good news. And those who want to destroy these lamps, who have enmity with ulama, who talk ill about them, for them there is a destruction. Ulama ikram have a task to perform. They show the right path. They are the soldiers of deen. They protect and defend deen as the soldiers protect and defend a particular country. They raise the word of truth, the kalma-e haq. They teach Quran-e Pak and they teach Hadith-e Pak. And they tell you the praises and the naats and the greatness of beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they take you in the qurb and the nearness of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jal. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created an arsh under the arsh. So there is an arsh under the arsh. And on the door of that arsh it is written, the one who has visited ulama ikram, he has visited anbiya alayhim as-salam. Hazur Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that to spend one moment in the company of ulama, according to Allah Azza wa Jal, that is more loved than the worship of 1,000 years. So how important it is for the Muslim community to have friendship and to have a relationship with the ulama. And through that they can find opportunity to sit with them and spend time with them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, the one who sits 2 sa'at, sa'at could mean hour and sa'at could mean moment. So even if you take the wider meaning of the word and you translated as to be hours, so then the hadith would mean 2 hours. So if a person sat in the company of an alim adeen 2 hours, or he ate 2 morsels with him, or he learnt 2 words of deen from him, or he walked 2 feet with him, he will be granted 2 jannats. And each jannat that he will get would be equal to the size of 2 worlds. Not 1 world, وہ ایک جنت دو دنیا کے برابر ہوگی. So that would be equal to two worlds, that person will get two jannats. So alhamdulillah azza wa jal, from these ahadith mubarakah, we learn many virtue of the relationship of ummat with ulama and spending time with ulama and learning from them. Hazrat Abu Zar radiallahu ta'ala reports that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, if you recite one chapter of Quran Kareem in the morning, this is better than reading 100 rak'at nafil salat. And if you teach someone one chapter of Quran Kareem, whether you practice upon it or you do not practice upon it, you just taught someone, you taught a student. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that this action of teaching someone one chapter of Quran Kareem is better than 1000 rak'at nafil salat. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who learnt one chapter of ilm-e-deen with the intention that he will go and teach other people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him countless sawab. See, in this hadith mubarakah, it shows that the people who are interested to learn Quran Kareem, and after learning, they go to other people and teach them, they are indeed very lucky, and their sawab is very great. So all these huffaz ikram who are busy teaching children, making them hafizul Quran, or even by sight, they are indeed very lucky people. In fact, their job is the best job, their work is the best work. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَ. That best amongst you is the one who learns the Quran and then teaches Quran Kareem. So a criteria of being best has been established in Hadith Mubarakah. According to our understandings and according to our mindsets, maybe we take a best person who's very wealthy, or very successful in business, or very famous, or very powerful. There are different criteria that people have in their minds to declare someone as best. But according to the founder of this deen, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the best person amongst you is the one who goes and he learns Quran and then he goes and teaches Quran. And alhamdulillah, in the mahal and environment of Dawat Islami, we have created this opportunity. And what we do in that, we teach people Quran Kareem. We teach them and we prepare them so they can go and teach somebody else. So their own Quran is correct, because correct recitation of Quran Kareem in the namaz is farz. You cannot read Quran the way you want. Quran is revealed in Arabic language, not in your own mother tongue. So you have to read Quran Kareem according to the rules and regulations of Arabic language, which is known as Tajweed. Therefore, ulama ikram have said that reading Quran with Tajweed is wajib. It's compulsory. It's not optional. So you are a namazi. You are a Muslim. You are mukallaf, you are duty bound to read your namaz. And if you are not careful about your pronunciation and from which part of the mouth the word must be uttered, then there's a serious problem. Because Arabic language is very sensitive when it comes to makharij. It changes the meaning. Ayn, ayn, seen, tha. Seen sword, kaf, kaf. If it's not said the way it's supposed to be said, the meaning changes. And sometimes meaning changes to the extent that it becomes blasphemy. Now imagine that person is reading Quran and he is uttering kufr in his namaz. Do you think that his namaz would be counted? It cannot be. Therefore it is everybody's responsibility that we must make sure wherever there is an opportunity to learn Quran-e-Kareem, we must take that opportunity and make sure that we read Quran-e-Kareem correctly. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, the one who read namaz with jamaat and then he sat in the halqa of ilm-e-deen. Normally after namaz we do dars, that's the halqa of ilm-e-deen, 5-7 minutes, and we talk some basics of deen, we talk about some sunnahs so we can learn and practice. And many people run away. They don't want to sit in that because they feel it's not necessary. Namaz is necessary, which we have done it. So it's not necessary for us to sit in the halqa of ilm-e-deen. Okay? Maybe they have some valid reasons. So I cannot, you know, point at any individual that why they don't sit. But now I'm talking generally. That many people are not interested. They don't sit in that. But if you sit, then you will benefit. This is what is mentioned in Hadith Mubarakah. That the one who read his namaz with jama'at, and then he sat in the halqa of ilm-e-deen, and he heard the kalam of Allah, and he practiced upon it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him 6 things. Number one, rizq-e-halal. Number two, relief from the punishment of qabr. Number three, the book of deed will be given on the right, in the right hand on the day of judgment, which would be the sign of successful people and the jannatis. And he will cross the bridge of Sirat like lightning. And on the day of judgment, he will be in the company of Anbiya alayhimus salam, that his hashr would be with Anbiya. And in the Jannat he will get a palace which would be built with red color pearls, and that palace would have 40 doors. It would be so big and so huge palace that he will get in the Jannat. So these are the 6 gifts for that person who after namaz sits in the halqa of ilm-e-deen, spends that 5-7 minutes, learns something of deen and he practices upon it, then this is his gift. So what is better, to sit for a few minutes or to run away immediately? Of course, for a person who worries about the benefit of akhirah, he will realize and he will conclude that it's better for me to sit than running away straight away. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, the one who wants to protect his ilm, ilm-e-deen, he should practice 5 things. If he practices 5 things, then his ilm-e-deen which he has attained would be protected and would be beneficial and will lead him to practice. Number one, to read namaz during the night, even if it is 2 rakat. This is besides the salat of Isha, which is first. This refers to salatul layl, or we can call it tahajjud. Even if it is 2 rakat, that he reads that. So through this action, through this amal, his ilm of deen would be protected. Always stay with wuzu. So if this is your habit that you stay with wuzu always, the ilm-e-deen which you have learnt would be protected. That would stay with you. You will not forget about it. And he must be muttaqi. He must be Allah-fearing person
hiddenly and openly. Now there are some people who are very pious when they come in front of people. They act very holy, they talk very nice, so other people think that he's a wonderful man, he's very polite, he's very pious. But in their private life, they're not like that. So they have a double standard in their character. If this happens, you will forget ilm-e-deen that you have. So if externally and internally you are a muttaqi person, then ilm-e-deen will stay with you. And number four, to eat for taqwa, not to fulfill the desire of stomach. This is very important, because many of us, we eat to enjoy the food. And therefore, people get very fussy and they get very angry if food is not according to their taste. Many men fight their wives because they live to support their nafs, to fulfill the desires and the needs of their nafs. So if they don't get tasty food, they will make noise. Even at the time of Hajj, I have seen these nafs-pressed people, that when the tour operator takes them, and of course they say food will also be granted, and if food is not according to their taste, they fight right there. They make noise. They forget that they are here for a few days. After a few days, the Hajj ibadat is over and they'll go back to their homes and they'll have the dishes that they desire. But because their nafs is habitual to fulfill the desire of the nafs, therefore they don't care where they are. I mean, if you swear or use a vulgar language in the haram of Makkatul Mukarrama, your sin multiplies with 100,000. And they lose the sawab of patience. Because if they were patient, then they would have received the sawab which would have been multiplied with 100,000. Because every neki you do in the haram of Makkatul Mukarrama, the sawab is multiplied with 100,000. And every sin you commit in the haram of Makkatul Mukarrama, the sin is also multiplied with 100,000. So now this is one of the quality of those people who want that their ilm-e-deen to be protected, that they eat for taqwa, so they can live, they can survive. If they can live and they have power in their body, they can read namaz. Now pious people, people of taqwa, they do that, they make niyat, they think about it. If we sit in the company of Amir Ahl Sunnah, the founder of Dawat-e-Islami, Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, Damat Barakatuhum Al-Qudsiyah, he will make niyat and he will tell everybody else to make niyat. And what niyat he makes before he eats the food, he always says, I'm eating to have power in my body so I can worship Allah Azza wa Jalla. Not for any other reason. So if you know these things, then your sleep would also be an ibadat. Your eating would also be an ibadat. Your body needs sleep. And we are careless. We sleep carelessly. But if you make niyat that this 6 hours or 7 hours sleep which my body needs, and I'm sleeping, so I get up fresh in the morning and I'm ready to read my salat of fajr. So my body has power and freshness. So I'm not lazy in the ibadat, then 6 or 7 hours that you sleep is also the ibadat of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla. So this way you can make your 24 hours in the ibadat of Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla, and then you can fulfill that mission for which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created you. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have not created jinns and humans but to worship. So if you have this knowledge, then inshallah azza wa jal, you will be able to make your 24 hours in the ibadat of Almighty Allah azza wa jal. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, a believer who is sad at the death of an alim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala writes the thawab of 1,000 ulama and 1,000 martyrs for that person. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said further in this hadith mubarakah, the death of an alim is death of the world. As it is said, mawtul alimi, mawtul alam. The death of an alimi deen is death of the world. So if an alimi deen dies, we must be more sad than when our father dies, when our mother dies. Because this world is existing because of the wujud and existence of ulama ikram. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that this world is standing on four things. And if these four things are not there, then this world will collapse and everything would be destroyed. And what are those four things? That ilm of ulama, that's the one thing. Justice of the rulers, that is the second thing. Generosity of the rich people, that is the third thing. And the du'as of fakirs. So if these four things are not there, this world will come to an end. Alhamdulillah, still we have ulama that have knowledge. We have many kings who are just. Not everybody is unjust. And there are many wealthy people who are generous. And there are many faqirs who make dua for the ummah. Because of these four pillars, the world is standing. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, Ya Rasulullah, tell us which is the best amal. Which is the best action that we can perform and we get sawab. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, Al-ilmu billah means the knowledge of deen. Ilm of Allah is knowledge of deen. Therefore, little practice, little amal with ilm gives you benefit. You don't do a lot of hard work in ibadat, you do little work. But you do it correctly. That's with ilm. So you do it correctly. It gives you benefit. And you do a lot of hard work in ibadat without knowledge. That means you don't know how to do it. That does not give you any benefit. So therefore, ilm is higher than amal 1 degree. So now if you want to know that is namaz higher, or the knowledge about namaz higher, then the answer would be, the knowledge about namaz is 1 degree higher than reading namaz itself. Because that is the ilm of ilm-e-deen. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that, in my ummah soon there would be a time. And this hadith mubarakah is very important, and we must listen it very carefully. That soon there will be time on my ummah that they will run from ulama and fuqaha. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put them in 3 difficulties. The first difficulty is that He will take barakat away from them. They'll have no barakat left in their homes, in their families, in their marriages, in their businesses. There will be no barakat left. And the second musibat that will be put on them is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will appoint an unjust ruler on them. Zalim badshah, an oppressor ruler on them who will not do justice to them. And the third difficulty is that they will leave this dunya without iman. Now see this, the first part, which is said as to be the reason of these 3 calamities, and that is that the people will run away from ulama and fuqaha. This we are seeing happening. People are not comfortable to sit with ulama. They're not comfortable to have friendship with ulama. Because they think that ulama are very strict and they always give fatwa. And with my friends, I speak anyhow. We joke, we laugh, we do this, we do that. But in front of an alim, you have to control your tongue all the time. As it is said that when you're sitting in front of an alim, control your tongue. And when you're sitting in front of a Sufi, a wali of Allah, then control your heart. Because he's looking at your heart, what's happening. And the alim looks at your tongue, what you are saying. People are not comfortable, they want to run away. And they don't have jazba, they don't have enthusiasm to learn deen or ask questions or ask masail from ulama. I normally say that many of us on the friendship list, we have a doctor, we have a lawyer, we have a policeman, we have somebody from the council, maybe city or electricity department. People from all walks of life, plumber, electrician, this and that, we have them on the list of our friends. Their numbers are on our phones. We freely talk to them, we friends with them. We know we can call them at any time if we need their help. But there's one man missing on the list of friends, and that is an alim-e-deen. Most of the people, I'm not saying that everybody, most of the people, if they want to know a masala, they don't know who to contact. They will phone 10 people to find, where must I go? Who must I contact? Is there a person who can guide? Why don't you have somebody on the friendship list? Because you don't worry about dini matters. There are many Muslims that their whole lives, they don't ask a masala of Sharia. They don't have habit of that. They don't feel the need for that. This is a clear example that they are running away from ulama. They are running away from fuqaha. And if they come to ulama, they don't come to solve their dini problems. They will still come to solve their worldly problems. But the generally public do not have tendency to know the Shari masail. To do things correctly according to Sharia, that shauk and that enthusiasm and that mind is not there. So we need to develop that kind of mind. There are so many business opportunities that come and knock at your door and you make a lot of money through those opportunities. But have you ever realized that this deal that I have signed is halal or haram? Is it correct or not correct? But that people don't care about it. As long as they're getting money, as long as they say, I'm not cheating anyone, I'm not deceiving anyone. But there are many ways that the business deal becomes haram and that earning becomes haram. It is the responsibility of every business person. It is the duty. It is fard. It is obligatory upon every businessman to know the detailed masail of business. When did you read a book? When did you sit with the ulama and found out about these issues? So alhamdulillah azza wa jal, we are striving and we are trying to create that mindset, to create that awareness that we can start learning our basics. There are many people, let me tell you, that they travel in Qafila, they come and attend these workshops. I mean, elderly people I'm talking about, they come and admit that today is the first time I learned how to make ghusl. Today is the first time I learned how to make wuzu. Today is the first time I learned how to read my namaz properly. So if shaitan tells you, no, you know everything, you don't need to learn anything from these boys. I'm experienced person, I've sat with this one and with that one, and I've read this book and I've read that book. So that's a dhokha, that's a deception of nafs, that's a deception of shaitan. Don't let shaitan deceive you. there's an opportunity, come join us. There'll be a lot to learn. Jazakallah. وَمَا عَلَيْنَا إِلَّا الْبَلَاغُ الْمُبِينُ.